Shabbat Shalom to everyone again. Like I said on the law class, I'm going to go back and deal with the third commandment again. I want to emphasize the importance of this as we carry on in this in teaching these laws and reestablishing them again. And as I said the other week about the Ten Commandments, I think and I know that Yahweh inspired Raphael and David both to give this because of the importance of it now as we are trying to reach out to other groups. We'll be in contact with, and I think this foundation here, we all understand how important the commandments were. And we know basically there's a difference between a command that is given. We know a command is an order that is issued judicially, and it is associated with a let. So these are a lot of things that you all are privileged in understanding now that Yahweh has given us, that it's going to take time to bring other people up to this understanding. Then you have the commandments that Moshe gave and made a part of the covenant. And they were written in stone to show the authenticity of how man's purpose in life should be, and not that they should be carving or casting images, as we read the other week, in the likeness of creative beings who have set in their minds to hinder Yahweh's plan and to prevent mankind from coming to a position to actually rule with three powers. And this is what I hope to get to down the road as we get further into this model, because I'm going to get back to this. These three powers, they're three powerful principles that rule the universe. And these ones understand that. And Yahweh has planned to give us power over all of these principles, and which is symbolical of the three or the four principles that issue out of the Garden of Eden. And so, and this, the Ten Commandments, like I said, was the glue to the social structure of Israel, and the social interaction between the people both men, women, and children, how we are to behave ourselves decently and in order within a social structure of a government that would keep that social institution and in intact, in unity with the Creator, because that's the whole objectivity of the providence that Yahweh has given and has issued out to mankind, and letting them see that he himself keeps his own laws. And he shows us this. So he gave us 10 commandments. The first five teach you to love your Creator. And in this instance, it is, we love him as he says here. And let's go here to Exodus 20. I'm just going to start back here again. And we're going to notice again here, verse 5, and Yahweh says that you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Now, this is talking about in verse 3 and 4 of the hidden gods who man started to mold and cast into images of birds, of mystical animals, that bulls, cows, that even Israel fell into. Crocodiles, whatever the images are that they use to cast in the image of this particular hindered god or demonic forces that we talked about last week. But this is what they're sacrificing to, is the demonic forces. And we learn what this is and how they engulf man and draw man into their worship. And that is by showering man with the material blessings of wealth here on this earth, wealth and power, and how they can control the people and make man and the earth stay under their rulership and domestic slavery, which they have changed now. Instead of controlling the body, they're controlling the mind. And let's do this. Let's go back in and just laying this point down. You should not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh, your Father, am a jealous heavenly Father. And we talked about this word, what this means. Punishing the children for the lawbreaking. And this is the key here. Because everything that Yahweh does, he said, if there is a son or daughter that is not disciplined or chastised by their father, then they are a bastard. They're without a father. So this is a great thing. It's not a bad thing that Yahweh is doing here, but he's trying to show Israel something and all nations who will embrace and model themselves after these commandments here. And these first five that we're going to deal with, which are all concurrent with one another. And Moshe wrote them in this way so that man can see that each one of these laws builds up to the other and supports the other, so that man can see how to glue a society first and foremost to their creator. And this is the key. This is one of the greatest secrets that they knew themselves, that if they can keep mankind from this, and remember in some of the older works, like the one I did on Nimrod, I showed you how Cush, who is, and Ham, who were the chief and the heads of idolatry and the representatives of these demonic forces here on earth, who was worshipped as the sun and in many things, and have been worshipped throughout antiquity as the with the symbols of the mother and the sun. And that is symbolical of the fact that not only the S-O-N as a sun, but also the sun, S-U-N, which this woman, and there's great secrets in that we're going to talk about as we get along with this. Hopefully, Yahweh's willing. I want to show why Yahweh says that the light of the sun and the moon will no longer be needed anymore. And see, this was one of the greatest secrets that they have kept from mankind. And Yahweh's made it and revealed it to us today. Why this is so? And why did these two things that he showed in the sun and the moon cause the schism and the breaking up of this universal empire that the Vatican today, sitting on Rome, is trying to emulate and restore, but with not with the force and the providence of Yahweh, but with the forces of darkness. And this is what this is all about. And this is why Yahweh said, don't bow down to this, because this is a plan. And he said he's punishing the law breaking of the fathers, because this is what this idolatry teaches you. It teaches you to break the law. It says that it's okay to break these laws. Matter of fact, it's time we need to live this reality, okay, which is the partaking of this double principle in order to prove Yahweh wrong. That man can live and have peace, live abundantly without the curses, as Yahweh said they would if they break his law. But notice he said, punishing the children for the law breaking of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Notice that. But showing love to the thousands who love me. This thousands, remember, this is the Hebrew word, I love. And this is where Yahweh says this thousands is speaking of a group that he shows in Revelation as 144,000. Okay? The thousands who love me. And he knew they were going to come to this by keeping my laws. So we see here what Yahweh describes as loving him and what love is. So to hate Yahweh is to break his law. And then create these obscene images that are a direct insult to the Creator, an insult to his integrity and his character that he is teaching in the universe and himself. Now turn over to Isaiah 65. Let's deal with this law breaking and this then punishing these children now of the fathers now to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. In Isaiah 65, we're going to deal with this concept here, because Yahweh wants every man, woman, and child to understand what he means by punishing the fathers the lawbreaking of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. It's important that they understand this. And remember, even Isaiah and Jeremiah both, they spoke of this, and it says, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And this was an ancient proverb that was always used at that time period to show this gendering of strife and sin into the seed. This gendering that Yahweh kept trying to warn Israel against and kept telling them that this is what occurs through the lawbreaking. You start to gender these curses into your children, breeding it into them, because as the symbolicness of that, when he says that the fathers have eaten these sour grapes, this bitterness against Yahweh, this covetousness and this bitterness against Yahweh and his law. So this is what these sour grapes that Jeremiah and was constantly reiterating to Israel, that they have done this. And you can read that on your own. I mean, this is written in Jeremiah, and I'm just giving it out. I'm quoting it out right now. But look at Isaiah 65, verse 6. Let's start there. It says, behold, it is written before me. And this is what I want everyone to understand tonight, okay? Notice what Yahweh says here. Behold, it is written before me. That is, in Yahweh's presence, this is written. I will not keep silent, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says Yahweh, who have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed my names upon the hills. Therefore, notice what Yahweh said, I will measure their former works, that is their sins, into their bosom, into their bosom. And this word written here in Isaiah 65, verse 6, is from the Hebrew word katab. It's from number 3789 in the Hebrew. And this word means to grave or to inscribe, describe or inscribe something. By implication, to write or to record. So this is something that is recorded. These sins are recorded in the presence of Yahweh. He wants you to understand this. Dr. Furr showed this word here means to record on page 708 in the Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Furr for the Hebrew word kathab, that's written here in this verse here. He said that this word means to record the crimes which Yahweh registers, as it were, in order to visit them at the right time. And I think Rafai read this the other week, who was in his law, about visiting these sins. It's where it means to visit. And Yahweh shows this all the time, that he will visit these sins. There is no sin that will be left unpunished, that is uncorrected. And this is what Yahweh does. It's a correction. It is to rid the world of sin, not to encourage sin as they are doing today, because they have commercialized it. They are making money off of it instead of bringing mankind out of this. In a judicial sense, now, this is what Dr. Furr says there, in the judicial sense, to write down, to decree a punitive process against whoever this person is. And Yahweh says that your fathers have done this, but I'm going to visit these sins, and then he tells you how he's going to do it when he says, I'm going to measure it into your bosom. And we're going to find out what he means by that. And this is what he means by the third and fourth generation. To decree a punitive process against, to write down or be written down, to decree a sentence, a legislative determination that is written here. Look at Deuteronomy 27. Look at Deuteronomy 27, verse 1. Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27. I'm going to start right there. And remember that these were written down. Deuteronomy 27, these laws or these things are written in the sight of mankind. And I'm just going to reiterate something. This is a legislative process, something that is written. Then Moshe, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep, notice this now, all of these laws which I command you this day. On the day you cross over the Jordan to the land Yahweh your father is giving you, you shall set up for yourself large stones, coat them with plaster. You shall write, and this is where this word right here, just like what Yahweh said, you shall write on them all the words of this law. When you are crossed over to enter to the land of, that Yahweh your father is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as Yahweh the father of your fathers has promised you. And when you have crossed this Jordan, set up these stones on Mount Ebal, as I commanded you this day, and coat with them with plaster. Build the altar of Yahweh, your father, with stones. Do not use any urn or other tools upon it. Use whole, unaltered stones to build this altar of Yahweh, your father, and offer your burnt offerings on it to Yahweh, your father. You shall offer peace offerings upon here. Look down to verse 8. And you shall write very clearly. And this word right here, look it up for yourself. He's not telling you just to write down there, but to write down these laws very clearly, all the words of this law on these stones you have set up. Then Moshe and the priests, who are Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, be silent, O Israel, and listen. This day you have become the people of Yahweh your father. Obey the voice of Yahweh your father by observing and doing his laws and his statute, which I command you this day. And Moshe commanded the people on that same day, saying, when you have crossed the Jordan, here are the tribes. And he gives them this instruction. But the key here, he said, this day you have become the people of Yahweh. And then he tells them to observe and do these laws. And this was even before they crossed over the Jordan. Look to Jeremiah 2, verse 22, real quickly. Jeremiah 2, verse 22. Because I want to show why, because Yahweh, there was no excuse for these sins. Because Israel was given these laws, and they were taught not to break these laws. Jeremiah 2, and notice verse 19. We're going to start there in 19. Notice what he says here. Your own wickedness, it will correct you. And this is the punishment now. And your backsliding will rebuke you. Know therefore and recognize that it's a bitterly evil that you have forsaken Yahweh your father, and the reverence of me is not in you, says Father Yahweh of hosts. Long ago, I broke your yoke, I burst your bonds, that is, I delivered you from this slavery, the bonds of iniquity and the bonds of slavery that you was experiencing in Egypt. Long ago, I did this for you. And you said, I will not transgress. But on every hill and under every green tree, you laid down playing the harlot. That is, giving yourself to this idolatry. Yet I planted you a noble vine and a completely ripe seed. Get this now. How then have you turned into a degenerated plant of a strange vine to me? For though you wash with lye and you use much soap, yet the stain of your iniquity is before me. And this is what I'm talking about. These are the iniquities, and I just want to lay this down. But the key thing is, Yahweh said, I plainly planted you this right seed with all of this righteousness in it that comes from the keeping of my law, so that you can pass this down to your children. But no, you became this degenerated vine, and you corrupted the seed. And I think Azariah said this, that the holy seed is defiled because you have joined yourself to paganism and to pagan women that Yahweh forbidded you to even be with. And you brought these curses into this. And Yahweh said, because you have done this, your fathers, I'm going to measure these sins that are written before me or for you. All of these things are before me, all of these iniquities. But I'm going to measure these into your own sons. And this shouldn't be new to us, because we know the history that even Enoch, who told these fallen angels, These cherubim who fell from their estate, a wonderful estate, a wonderful authority, to come down to prevent man, to become these hinder gods, to prevent man from coming to this great potential, because they refuse to humble themselves to a mortal, as they call it, someone that is they see in their mind as beneath them. But they fail to realize what their father, their creator, loving father and creator, said to them. And this is the question they add. Why is Yahweh even mindful of these people, these beings that we call man? And Yahweh told them exactly. King David was inspired to write this in Psalms 8. Go and read it. He said, why are you even mindful of us? And then he tells you exactly why Yahweh, even though he said you will raise us above the Malachim in heaven, all of them in heaven, and you will set us above, as rulers over all that your fingers have framed. This is the great potential that these gods that came down, and Yahweh says, what did he do to them? He measured their sins into their bosom as well. Their own children, they watched destroy themselves because of the sins that they partook of. And Enoch told them, even though they wanted the extension of life for their children, it was not granted to them. And these men watched their own sons because of their sins. Their own sins. Yahweh measured these into their own children. Because this is the only way for man to realize when you have started to eat these sour grapes, but you're looking at these results of their sins in your own children who you love. And you start seeing these curses unfold in their lives. And it should humble you and the child. And you should be more ready to teach that child to turn away from those sins. And notice verse 23. He said, how can you say I am not polluted? Notice this now. How can you say this? I have not gone after Balaam, these lords and goddesses. See how you behave in the valley of Ben-Hinnom? Consider what you have done, Yahweh says. You are like a swift she-camel running here and there, like a wild donkey accustomed to the wilderness now. Notice, remember Yahweh says, I brought you into the wilderness of these people. And he said, but you're like this old wild donkey here, stubborn, don't want to obey, accustomed to the wilderness in her heat. Notice this now, is this the object of all of this idolatry? In her heat, sniffing the wind. In her season, who can restrain her? No male seeking her needs to worry themselves. In her moon, they will find her. Notice with the heart. And we're finna get into this bosom because you're gonna see why Yahweh used this word. Let's go back to Isaiah 65. Okay, that's all I wanted to read there. I think that's enough. Isaiah 65. And remember here in this verse that we left off, we started with here. Yahweh said, behold, it's written before me. We just seen that all of this is before Yahweh. This is used by all the prophets. He said, and I will not keep silent because of these sins, because I love you. And Yahweh is a father of judgment. And this is love, that he corrects our sin. Because he said, if I didn't do this, he said, what father would not correct his son if he done wrong? Why is it different for me? There is no difference there. But we'll recompense you. That is, you will repay. You will have to bring requital for your own sins into their bosom. Notice this now. And this word bosom is the Hebrew word 2436. It is the Hebrew word, kafach. It's the Hebrew word 2436. And this word means within, like the lap or the base, inward. And this word means to cherish. Inside And then this word means the heart. And this is the reason why I want to bring this. And I'm going to break this word down for you even deeper. Okay. And I just want to give you the gist of this. He said to cherish, because the bosom is like the womb of a woman. And what's so great about this, and every woman who has had a child will tell you this, throughout those months that child is developing in their womb, every month she cherishes this child. I mean, the love and the connection that is there grows while this child is in the womb. And there's a cherishing that goes on. And when you look this word up, you're going to see. Because the heart does this to sin. Because when you start to allow sin inside of your mind, and through these gates that Yahweh said to you, you should guard and make sure that they're not uncircumcised, your eyes, your ears, that you will not let this sin that will go down into the heart, which is like a womb, which is like the bosom, that starts to cherish this sin. It's inward. Yahweh wants you to know this is something that is inward inside of you. Let's get into this word and see how it connects to what Yahweh wants us to understand here. And this is from 2243, Kab. It means a cherisher. That is the bosom. A cherisher now. And this word means to hide oneself, to do something secretly that you thought you got away with. But Yahweh says that he sees the heart. He judges the hearts of man. And Yeremia talked about this. You try our hearts, Yahweh. And Yeremia chapter 17, he speaks about this. Please put these scriptures there and connect this into what I'm saying tonight so you can understand this law. Because it is here that Yahweh is telling us here. You remember Yeremia talked about this in Yeremia 12 when he spoke about the heart. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. Notice this now. Yeremia 17, verse 9 and 10. I'm in verse 10 here. Yahweh, search the heart. I test his mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. But you remember that Yahweh is the one that searches this heart, which is like a bosom, a womb. And he tells you, I am the one that tries this heart of yours, and I test this mind that you have concerning him, so he may know. Yahweh knows the heart, knows the hearts of men. Even Yahshua said that himself. Yahshua knew the hearts of men. And that it was there that all of these sins are developed. And remember he said? He said, it's not what goes into the mouth of a man that defiles him. He said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth truly speaks. Because there is fornication, adultery, all of these things that man learns to cherish. Instead of cherishing righteousness and peace, they start to cherish sin. And Yahweh said, I'm going to measure these sins within your bosom. And he's going to show you exactly what he started to talk about here, because this is where it starts to get deep. He said to hide self, to do secretly. Kabah. Kabah is 2445, which is from 2243 now. It means to hide as in the bosom. Get this. You're hiding these sins as in the bosom. Remember that even EO spoke this about Adam. Say, Adam, what did he say Adam did? He hid his sin. Where did he hide it at? He hid him in his bosom, the heart. He says, to hide as in the bosom, to cherish with affection and love. And it describes embracing, cherishing this iniquity, and speaking, this is speaking of, now this is Dr. Furs now, has been bringing this word out. This is speaking of the mind or the soul. And remember Yahweh says this, because this is where what you take in the heart, it is deposited within the soul. And you see this because the Hebrew word for Adam, you know, when you study this word for Adam, you start to see the word Dab, and it shows this assimilating connection between the body and the soul, because there is a connection there. And we're going to see it here in just a few minutes. I want to get this in. The mind. Speaking of the mind or the soul. And this word kab is the bosom. the lap. Remember, the Yahweh said these sins are measured in your lap. This is another way of describing this. The idea of cherishing as a place where anything is warmed or cherished. Remember, this is speaking of the heart now. We're not speaking of a bosom, but the heart. To desire, to long for something, to long after, that is to lust after a thing. The primitive root of this word, kaf, it's in the found on 354 and in the Hebrew tongue restored by Fabre Olivet. It is every ideal of a definition, impression, the impression of this object or this matter in the memory. Remember this word. We're finna break it down, okay? This is now, notice what Yahweh is breaking this down. Now he's trying to tell you. This is impressed in the memory. And remember, not only did Yahweh say your iniquity is recorded in heaven, but it is also recorded in the genes. It's being recorded there as a memory, been written down. Description, a narration. It is the action of defining, connecting, and giving a dimension. Deciding upon the forms, cutting after a model, to carve, to design a thing appointed, decreed, or constituted. And this term bosom means chest. It is the seat of emotions and feelings. And then it gives you the word thorax. That's T-H-O-R-A-X. And this is found on page 1227 in the Any Western Dictionary from the Latin breastplate. The breastplate, the thorax, the cavity to which the heart, get this now, and the lungs now, lie. They both lie in this cavity. The bosom is in the collegiate thesaurus, the Webster Collegiate Thesaurus. So the synonym of the word bosom, look it up for yourself, is heart and soul. That is the synonym for this word bosom. The heart and the soul. Check me out, page 100 in the Webster Collegiate Thesaurus. The synonym of this word bosom is the heart and the soul. The heart and the soul. So when Yahweh says this, I want this council and everyone who will listen to this to understand that he's telling you something here. And without understanding etymology and reading words and learning from the fact that Yahweh locks these things in words, then we don't get this. And this term heart now is the center. This is the center or the nucleus. It is a vital and usually small and stable center about a matter where a matter is gathered, consecrated, or to which accretions are made. And this term accretions means to occur. That is the process of growth. Now notice this now, this is where these accretions, and that, I hope I'm saying that word, accretions, that's A-C-C-R-E-T-I-O-N-S, are made. And this word means to occur, which means the process of growth. So this is something where something grows, either righteousness, light, or darkness. It grows here in the heart. Growth or enlargement by a gradual building up or increase by an external additions, that is you taking this in to your mind, absorbing it with your eyes, whatever it is, all of these gates that Yahweh tells you, of this house that he tells you to guard. He said, guard thy mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. That's what should flow out of this heart. Okay, it's all of the wisdom of life and things that will give you life. But he said, guard thy mind. How did you guard it? Well, there are gates here on this human body, just like there was gates on the house of Yahweh. And what did Yahweh have at every one of those gates? He had a guard, always reminding you to protect this temple, this house, this body, which is the temple or the house of the Holy Spirit. And you should be protecting this. And the only thing that should be there is the food that would make this spirit, this creative force grow in you. And the heart is where it grows, just like the womb of a mother that Yahweh is cherishing, that she cherishes, This is where he said, this is where the law should be cherished, in your heart. What did he tell Jeremiah? He said, in these last days, I'm going to renew my covenant. And what he recruited, I'm going to write my laws where? In their heart. In their heart. This is key. Because this is where, this is how Yahweh is wanting you to cherish this, so it will bring you into the great potential that is to be just like your father and your big brother, Yahshua, who come to this and came to this great potential and developed this and came to perfection for us. So it's gradual buildup or increase by an external addition or accumulation. The increase, and it gives you an example of this word, to an increase. When it says that they should bring the increase of the land, the increase of the land by the actions of the natural forces that bring this increase to the land. And you remember one of the apostles described this, and he said that I, Apollos, and Shaul, we plant and we water, but it is Yahweh who gives the increase. Now, I want you to think about that, what he's saying to you. We plant the seed in you. Your body is like the field, the earth, your heart. If it's cultivated, then the seed will sit in his heart. But it is Yahweh who gives the increase through these natural forces, the natural, the spirit that I'm talking about, this that will make this grow in you. This spirit will grow in you. It is the same thing from the earth. It's only the things that Yahweh calls to increase in the earth is what he says, bring that to me as an offering. Because I, Yahweh, is the one that causes this earth to give you food. I can shut it off. But I'm the one to give you this increase. And from this increase that comes from the natural forces now, he says, bring me a tenth. And then Yahshua just even elevated this, what I'm saying, to the Pharisees and Sadducees, remember? He said, you tithe on mint and anise and all of these other things, but you neglect the more requirements of the law, which is judgment, mercy, and truth. Tithing, you should have brought. Yeah, this is deep. This is what Yahweh is saying, that he's measuring all of this inside of your heart. Where are you at? That's what he's saying. Because if you're doing this, then you're doing the opposite of what Yahweh wants. And he's telling you that you're gonna pass this down, and you're gonna start to see that the memory of your sins, all of these pools that we're about to get into, let me not get ahead of myself. I want to show this in this, and that everyone can study these words and see this for themselves. That you're not interpreting anything, or what they call them. I am interpreting, let me not say that. I am expounding these words of Yahweh, the word of Yahweh, so that you can understand this. The action of the natural forces to occur, accrue, is from the Middle French, means increase. Notice this now. Either way, you remember that this natural law can be bent any way towards righteousness or towards evil. Well, you don't bend it towards righteousness. It's straight. This way of Yahweh is straight. You bend the law, and Yahweh calls that iniquity or transgression. The bending of this natural law. Okay, grow, and then it gives the word crescent, to come about as a natural growth. And remember, this is what the tree of the righteousness, of the mixture of righteousness and evil, is described as a natural growth. This is what naturally grows when you turn from Yahweh's way. It's going to build in you. And Yahweh's saying, because of this, you're going to pass this down, and you're going to start seeing these sins even to the fourth, third, and fourth generation in your seed. Because you, the father or the mother, have eaten sour grapes, this bitterness against Yahweh and his law. The advantage to come about as a direct result of a state that you are in now. Yahweh says, you're either clean or unclean. There's only two states you can be in. You either practice in sin, which leads to death, or obedience that leads to righteousness. There's only two states. You're in either one of them. You can classify them as clean and unclean, righteousness and evil, whatever. It's only two states you could be. to accumulate or after accumulate or after or okay, accumulate or due after a period of time. And so you see this word heart, it is applied to a place that lies well within. Remember, not just exactly what the word bosom, the first definition of the word bosom that I read to you, what did it say? It's something within this word bosom. 2436, within, inward, inside of you. And this is what this word heart means. When you look this word up, it applies to a place that lies well within, which determines the essential character. Notice, look the word of labib up yourself, the Hebrew word for heart, labib, and see if this is not the case. Serving the vital and positive and motivating part. And then this word soul means mind, intellect, animating, that's life-giving, because it is the soul, because the soul is these genes, okay? This is what the soul is. Man thinking it is something that's outside of themselves, some type of gassy spirit. It is not. The Hebrew word nefesh, look it up. Study it deeply. You start to realize that this is what the soul is. Animating, this is something that is life-giving. Animating principle, that is the soul. Remember, nothing can come in existence without first being established in principle. It's imperative that people understand that. It's a principle. This is an animating principle. Essence, this is the essence that Yahweh wants to extract out of you, because it is here that the memory. That's why Yahweh said all souls that sins has sin in it. Notice. So if sin is in this soul, then there's a memory there and it's being recorded there. The soul is like a book. It records everything. The consistencies and inconsistencies of man, they're all there as a record for you. So when Yahweh said, when he opened the book, there's no need for you to come to judgment and, you know, be litigating. You know, the book inside of you, these book of genes here, this memory that's here, it will testify against us, every one of us. And I'm speaking of myself as well. This essence is the cause of an individual life. This is a spiritual principle. Get this now. Embodied in human beings, a person's total self. Notice what we're talking about here. Now, this word bosom means heart and soul now. So these two are connected, because the heart gathers, it collects, it builds, and then it records this not only in itself, but in the soul of man. Whatever you cherish, whatever the heart cherishes. And this soul represents a person's total self, who you are. And this is what you breed and engender inside of your children. And Yahweh says, he measured these sins in this way to the third and fourth generation. To the third and fourth generation. Okay, and then this word mind that you see here. Remember, this word soul means mind. This is your mind. Notice Yahweh says he tests the heart. He searches the heart and he tests the mind. And notice the soul is connected with the mind. Who will come to know the mind of Yahweh? Yeah, listen, this is deep, bro. This is, I'm telling you, when I tell you this, this is heavy, what Yahweh is saying to mankind. And inside this word mind is the word memory. Memory again, because what does the mind do? Does it not? If the consciousness not there, you have a conscious and a subconscious, and you have a short-term and long-term memory. Man has found this. They understand this. They know this, that this is the case. Right? And in this term mind, now we're talking about something that this is what Yahweh is showing you, is the process by which this is done. I would, I could give all the current details of this, but I'm only going to bring out what I think was necessary for us to make our point here. This term mind that's used here is intellect, soul, psychic, brain, and intelligence. Wit are comparable when they mean the sum total of powers, often felt as a distinct entity by means of which each individual knows and understands both his inner life and the external world and establish an effective relationship between them and which are commonly felt as the distinctive possessions of human beings. It indicates the complex of man's faculties. Remember this, this word faculties. Involved in perceiving, remembering, notice these faculties now, this mind indicates the complex of man's faculties involved in perceiving, remembering, considering, evaluating, and deciding. It contrasts variously here. And then it says, the soul, used with considerable variation in meaning and suggestion, may indicate that principle which vitalizes, directs you, either towards evil or towards righteousness now. Okay, where am I at? Selects or inspires in matters emotionally and volitional, that is will, that is devotion, volition is will, it's a term for will, as well as mentally, that is my inner existence, that consciousness which is called the soul, the consciousness, get this now. And you breed this inside of your children. You always say it. This is what they're going to be. They're going to be just bent towards this way. Okay, I think that's enough right there. Let me go to the last one I want to get into right here, and that's the word memory. This word memory implies chiefly to the power or the function of remembering what has been experienced or learned. In this sense, it suggests the power to reproduce images of what is no longer before one, to retain something as words, ideals, skills that have been learned, and to recognize and identify something previously known by who? Your forefathers, who knew this in themselves. And they passed this down to you. To you. And Yahweh is telling you. Okay, let me go on here. Now, the word measure is written in Isaiah 65. Yahweh said, I will measure this. Notice Isaiah 65, verse 7. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together. Notice this now. Your iniquities. Now, you, the son or the daughter, and the iniquities of your fathers. That's what Yahweh says. Because you're just adding to this. Of your fathers together, says Yahweh, who have burned incense upon the mountains, blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore, I will measure their former works into their bosom. That is, into this heart, which is the memory and the soul. This is all going to be there. Because it's from there now that Yahweh said you will recollect this. You will start to yield to it. Recalling these things inside of your mind that you have this natural bent. This word measure is 4058. It's the Hebrew word madad. The Hebrew word madad. It means to measure off or to extend the length or the distance of. Now we finish our scene where y'all was talking about. Because there's two things that comes out that is measured. And you're going to see that this is from 4055, which means judgment. This word measure means, this word from 4058, madad, means to measure off or to extend, lengthen, or distance. And I want to show you what this is talking about here, because you're going to see it in this word here. 4055, which is where Madad is from, means judgment. So Yahweh is this judgment. Yahweh is measuring these sins, that is the judgment, the sentence of you and your son's iniquities, and being measured inside of this heart. And notice what he's saying, including its standard, a thing measured. It is the duration of one's life. Get this now? Even the duration of your life, which your sin cuts this off now. This is why Yahweh says the extension and length and duration the distance of your life is being measured by your sins and the sins of your fathers. And this duration of one's life. Notice in turn real quickly here to Psalms 39. To see this, Psalms 39, what Yahweh is saying to us here. This is what is being measured. These are the judgments that Yahweh is saying that have occurred to these children. And some of them don't even live out half of their lives, the scripture says. Notice verse 1. We said, we will watch our steps, or we may stumble because of our tongues. We will keep a muzzle over our mouth while the wicked are in our presence. We were silent and still. We refrained from speaking, but we were deeply stirred by anguish. Our hearts, get this now, burned within us. While we thought about this, a fire is kindling when we spoke with our mouths. O Yahweh, show us the end of our lives, our allotted span of years. Notice now, how many are they? Let us know just how fleeting our lives are. Indeed, you have made our days as short as a handbreadth, and our lifetime as nothing in your sight. Alice, every man at his best is only a breath. Get this now, he is only a breath that you gave him even in the beginning. But notice this is what this is talking about here, is that he said it, even our days are as short as a handbreadth. Because these sins and our iniquities are being measured. And it's cutting off this life expectancy and life extension when we sin. Because it's the law that gives life. Okay, Psalms 90. Look at Psalms 90. Moshe spoke of this as well. Psalms 90. And notice verse 1. Yahweh, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains, that is the nations, were brought forth, or before you ever formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are our Father. You turn man to dust, and you say, return, you children of men. For 1,000 years in your eyes was only a yesterday when it passed, like a watch in the night. You carry them away as with a flood in the sleep of death. Get this now. In the morning, they are like the grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes, it grows up, and in the evening, it is cut down and withered. For we have been consumed by your anger, that is your righteous indignation, and by your wrath, we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you. Remember, we started out with this in Isaiah 65. You have set all our iniquities before you. That is, they are recorded there, just like they're recorded in you. You have set our secret sins. Notice this is what the bosom was talking about, to hide oneself and then secretly do this inside of your own heart, as Adam did, who hid his sin. Set our secrets, sins, in the light of your presence. Notice this now. This is what we want to do. You know, we want to be vulnerable in the sight of Yahweh. Who cares what man thinks? I do this all the time. Set these sins in the light of your presence. Because you can't hide that there is no, how did the EO put there? There is no mountain or hill or anywhere you can go where the workers of iniquity can hide themselves. They can't hide, you know, so why try to hide sin? You know, if you have done wrong, just admit it before the throne of the Creator because it's recorded there anyway. You know, why would we want to mock Yahweh? That's what I'm saying. We don't need to mock him. You know, as one of the Elihu said here, and I think it's fitting right here to make people realize that. Look real quick at the EO, just to make this point right here that I'm saying here to show man that, hiding iniquity that is recorded in Yahweh's sight, even you being righteous. Notice what Eliyahu says here. I mean, Elihu in Eob 35, verse 2 here. Do you think that it is right that you have said, my righteousness is more than Yahweh's? Yet you asked him, what benefit is it to you? What more would I have gained if I have sinned? What would I have gained if I have sinned? Notice what Eob answered. He said, I would answer you and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see Behold, the clouds which are higher than you. If you have sinned, what have you accomplished against him? That is against Yahweh. What have you accomplished? If your transgressions are many, what have you done to him? Notice this now. Look at this wisdom here that came from this young man. He said, if you sin, what have you done to Yahweh? What have you done to him? Notice what he's saying to him now. If you are righteous, what is it that you give to him if you are righteous? What is it that he receives from your hands? Your wickedness affects only a man such as yourself, and your righteousness influences only the sons of man. Because of the multitudes of oppression, the people cry out. They plead for help against the arm of the powerful. But no one says, where is Yahweh, my maker, who gives songs of rejoicing in the night, that is in this darkness that you're in now, who teaches us by the beast of the earth, that is these governments that are described as these beasts now, and who makes us wise by the birds of the air. Corner man cries out, but Yahweh does not answer. Why is this so? Because of the pride of evil men. Surely Yahweh will not listen to vanity, nor will the Almighty regard it. How much less would Yahweh listen to you when you say you cannot see him, yet justice is in his presence? And if we believe that, then why would we hide our iniquity? Any one of us, why would we hide it if justice is in his presence? Because your sins are recorded there. But you must wait for him. But no, because Yahweh is not immediately punished in his judgment, he seems to be unaware of transgression. That's what you think, right? Eob opened his mouth with vanity, and without knowledge, he multiplies his own words. Without knowledge. And one says that you don't have to do this and that, because we in this or that, or it's just, you're not acting with wisdom there. So this word measure means duration of one's life. And this is what Yahweh is saying to you. Even though righteousness would only benefit. And this is from Dr. Furr, showed this word Madad, page 771 in the Hebrew Chaldee lexicon through the Old Testament by Julius Furr. It means to stretch or protract time forward. To extend forward in opposition to drawing back. That is, this length of time in your life. When you sin, you draw this back. And Yahweh shuts off certain genes. And I can't get into the depths of this and this, to where the indication of this, as one of the brothers said, that he believes that vitamin C, the gene for vitamin C being naturally produced in the human body, we have to supplement it now. But he believes that once before, and many of them think this, that it was naturally produced in the human body and had something to do with the ability for man body to live. But anyway, that's another subject in itself. To extend forward, that is your life expectancy, instead of drawing it back, to ascertain the length of things generally to measure. It's a continuance and extent of time. And the primitive root of this word, mad, from the Hebrew word madad, mad, page 386 in the Hebrew Tongue Restored by Fablo Olivet, it is the sign of an exterior action and united to the sign of elementary division. So this is a division that is occurring in the body. Now think about this. It is an exterior action, something that comes from the outside that causes a elementary division to divide in order to multiply and grow like every cell in the human body does. And also the genes. The genes does the same thing, does it not? Unravel. And then new information is put in it, and then it wraps back around again. And things are put in it. Notice this division. The ideals of measure, dimension, mensuration, commensurable extent, those of custom. Notice what goes in from the outside. These customs, And Yahweh said, do not follow the customs of these nations who I'm driving out in front of you, Israel. Not even the customs today in the wilderness of these people. Don't follow these customs. In their custom, they said that a man will go and sleep with his own father's wife. And Moshe gave you all the depicable and despicable things that they would do. Men sleeping with men, women with women. All of this stuff, Moshe said, do not follow these customs. Because when you do, you're taking this in and you're cherishing these things inside of your heart. And then you therefore are reducing your life expectancy. And then you also are recording this in your soul, your genes, and you're passing this down to your own children. And notice this next thing, these customs, rule, or condition. Notice this now. Those of custom, rules, or conditions, that which extends, lengthens, and unfolds. It unfolds something. Notice what now? It's key. That which fills its measure, has all the dimensions it can have, which enjoys the whole extent of its faculties. So we see right now, this is unfolding of these faculties now. That which tends to the aggregates of its being, to the entire development of this right now inside of you. Because when this aggregate, I think that's how you say that. It means to add or to aggrandizement. That's the word. It means to add something to this, to make it develop and grow. Of its being. This being is two conditions. It's telling you. These two conditions that is unfolding, whether you're unfolding darkness or the unfolding of light, which Yahweh's laws do. The unfolding of your laws, one of the psalmist said, the unfolding of your laws gives us light, the scripture says. And this is what this is all about, right? This unfoldment of these faculties. And it's being to its entire development, and it serves as an instrument of generative power. Notice this is something that's being generated inside of you. It characterized generally or universally a passive matter. And this is where it gets deep because you start to see two things here on the male and female side. It is the possibility of all things, that which develops according to the extent of its faculties. And then it gives you the word, the number 100. Notice this now. I'm not making this up. This is written in the Hebrew Torah Restored by Fablo D. Olivet. This number 100. And turn over real quickly with me, and you're going to see this. It's exactly what I told you that in Isaiah, that you remember, and I think I just quote him. It says that there will not be an old man that will not fill out his life, nor a young man who won't do this in two. They will live, the sinner will live to be 100 years old. And I'm going to break this down one day and show you what Yahweh is showing you here. But when man sins, now they're reducing it. But Yahweh is going to extend his life expectancy to not even, that even a sinner in this time period will live to be 100 years. And he will either develop the unfolding of these faculties towards righteousness or the unfolding of it towards sin. And Yahweh said, he who has been at the sinner will be accursed. Notice what Yahweh is saying to you. And I'll get deeper with that in another time period and show you how deep this is. This word, Madad, in the Brown Javelin Bridge, page 551. It means a measure, a proportion, a rule, the portion measured off to thee. Something that's measured off to you. These curses. This is a judgment now. Remember, this is something that's measured off to you. It is to arise. This is the root dumb. And I will talk to you about it. In Hebrew tongue, page 323 and 324. It is arise. This word, this root arises from Abba and Amma. So this root now is a symbol of the active and passive principles. Now one is male and the other is female. One is an active principles and the other is a passive principles. We just read that. And I'll sure explain this stuff in another time period. I'm just putting it into your mind now. A homogeneous thing formed by the affinity of similar parts and holding to the universal organization of being, your being, and these similar parts. They call them traits. You know, dominant and recessive. The state of universalized beings, right here. And then it gives you Malcolm, the acts of assimilating to oneself, that is thinking, imagining, and conceiving something inside of yourself. And then now that we think about this measuring, because he's judging and searching this heart, and he's measuring these sins and that you are assimilating to yourself in thinking, imagining. Notice this word. If anybody that's following me in the Hebrew tongue restored knows that I'm not just reading and pulling this stuff out of the air. This is written there. I'm just showing you how to break these words down, and you can start to expand your understanding of what the prophet is showing you here and the great wisdom that's here. When you assimilate these sins within yourself, and you're thinking and imagining things, and even conceiving these things inside of the mind. What is one of the seven things that Yahweh hates? A wicked imagination. Because he knows what you're doing. You're starting to cherish this and put this inside of your heart. And then the last of this root, it means the Hebrew word is Dalet, page 320. Of the Hebrew tongue restored by Pablo Arabet is every ideal of abundance and division. Notice this word division. Of propagation. Notice this now. Propagation is what? Reproduction. Is it something that you're passing down? Okay? So that's the reason why I'm trying to show you what Yahweh is trying to show him. All of this details is in these words. This is the abundance and division of propagation, infusion and influence. Literally, the breast, the mammal. It is the action of acting by sympathy or by affinity. And anyone who knows the word affinity shows this is your relation to. And the word affinity, you can look it up for yourself. I'll look it up. I'm going to read that and show you that what he's showing you here in this word affinity. Notice this word affinity here. It's from bordering on or related by marriage. Relationship by them, sympathy marked by community of interest, kinship, an attraction to or liking for something, an attractive force between substance and the partner that causes them to enter into and remain in this chemical combination. Dioxide, rubellite, nucleus, whatever they call it, these chemical makeup here. He's showing you something here, something that's passed down. A person, especially of the opposite sex, having a particular attraction for one, the likeness based on relationship or casual connection. A relationship between biological group involving resemblance in structural plan and indicating a common origin. So this word affinity is speaking of kinship. How these things are passed down to you by propagation. Y'all just bear with me. I have to do this. Try to get this in. So this word measure is a certain something by measuring, that is righteousness or evil, the sin, to regulate and control the faculties. Now, when he says, remember we read earlier that, let me go back to it because I want to make these points about these his faculties. And remember we read that about this unfolding, the unfolding, the exterior action and the sign of elementary division, and that which extends, lengthens, or unfolds. And it says, this is that which enjoys the whole stint of its faculties. Okay? And then it says, it characterizes generally a passive matter, a possibility of all things. Do you have this possibility of all things now? That which develops according to the extent of its faculties. The extent of its faculties. And these word faculty is their this natural aptitude, abilities, and powers. And this word aptitude, or apt, or aptitude, it means fitness, an inclination or tendencies, the capacity for learning, and general suitability, likely and ordinarily disposed or inclined to something. So this faculties, this is how you develop, even the powers, okay, that we're talking about, these abilities and skills, is all based on this natural aptitude, these tendencies, your natural pulls, whether it's towards evil, and there's any possibility that you can do in this evil. A man can reduce himself down to a brute beast, as one of the apostles spoke about these people. They can get to this point by this natural aptitude, these tendencies that they have within themselves, which is the proneness to a particular kind of thought or action, overbearing, being insulting, contemptuous in speech or conduct, proud. This is what this is, and these are the natural aptitudes that you can build. And Yahweh says, I'm measuring these things, and I'm certain these things inside of you by measuring. And you're going to start seeing these things come out in your own children. Their tendency is going to be, and their thoughts are going to be wickedness and evil continuously. And Yahweh said, this is what mankind had came to in the beginning. Okay. And there's one more thing I want to bring out, and then I'm going to go back to Exodus. Exodus 20. Time. Now, we're still talking about this law. I'm going a little bit over. Let me stop. I'm going to stop right here. And I will pick back up on the next Sabbath, if maybe Yahweh is willing. And we'll get back into this other law. I'm just going to start here and leave this here. But I want everyone to understand when Yahweh says, even in the King James Bible here, I want to read it out of here. Exodus 20. Now, we should understand now what Yahweh says. He's measuring these sins. He says the law breaking of the fathers is being measured. This punishment is a measurement. It's a judgment. That Yahweh is certain by measuring these sins in the bosom of these for the fathers and the iniquities even of the children to the third and fourth generation. And you start seeing these tendencies and these curses, and even the life expectancy of these children drops tremendously. And we saw this even in our own brothers and sisters, where they were living some close to 1,000 years, and then the life expectancy, because of sin, was continuously being diminished. And Yahweh was measuring these inside of the soul, the heart, which is where they were cherishing these sins, and then therefore, the extent, instead of it moving forward, it was drawing back. It was drawing back. That is the life expectancy of mankind. Notice verse 7 now. Now we're saying, and Yahweh shows this now, he visiting these iniquities. Remember in the King James Bible, it says this, of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But he's showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh your father in vain. Yeah, this is where I want to start in right here. People got to understand it, though. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Okay? And when you look at this term here, in vain, and I'm going to stop with this one right here and we'll pick back up on it because I want to get deep into this. And I want to show you how all of these laws lead into. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To keep it holy. This word vain here is 7723. And you can see this on page 996 in the Brown Driving and Bridge, which showed this word vain. When you read it for yourself, it reads, to be evil, that is Yahweh's name, foul, unseemly. Write these words down. baseness, to take up the name in vain, to no good purpose. That means you have no purpose of taking Yahweh's name and hallowing this name, but now you make man seem like it's unseemly, that everything that Yahweh is connected to Yahweh is unseemly. It's base, it's foul, it's evil. A conduct, now, and notice this is dealing with conduct, because you remember the name of Yahweh not only just means to pronounce his name, this means his authority, his character, the conduct of worthlessness, bring this to worthlessness, bringing disappointment. This is how you bring Yahweh's name, cause Yahweh's name to be taken the name in vain. This whole authority and character. Not only just the name, pronouncing it as they, you know, want to hang on to, you know, and this is where they think that they can say that we need to add, we can't pronounce his name. You know, it's too holy to pronounce. But what they're not telling you, this is exactly what they said in all of the El shrines in Canaanite, that to pronounce the name of the God was to gain control of him. So they was trying to connect and bring in these pagan ideologies of idolatry. But Yahweh didn't say this. He just says, don't do this right here. Don't disappoint him. Bring disappointment to him, his name, his authority that he has given you, where men will call. He's why he says, that's why my name is blaspheme and dishonor. All of these things right here that Yahweh is saying here, nothing. Because this is what this word means. It means nothing too. This word vain means nothing. Okay. In the Hebrew term restored, this root, it means for the action of making eruptions, tominate, I want to get into each one of this, fracas, insolence, and this word fricus means noisy quarreling or brawling with people. When you sit around here and you quarrel and you fight, and remember one of the apostles talked about this here, this is where you bring a dishonor to Yahweh's name. When you sit around and want to argue and go back and forth with people, and when it leads into all of these, this brawling, as he, that the apostle talked about here. And he talked about by purity, by knowledge, and by long suffering. I want to read what the apostle Shaul spoke about this right here, and he said, and when he's speaking to us about, you know, how we are to teach these people, and how that when we teach them, he tells us that we should be patient with these individuals, not teaching the law in strife. And this is what this is, because it brings dishonor to Yahweh's name when we're doing this. And we shouldn't do it at all. If we are going to do so, we're going to do it amicably, and we're going to make sure that we always represent Yahweh and don't bring evil or anything like this towards his name, but honor his name, bring honor to his name, not profaning his name. And we're going to see this too, because it is imperative that man understands that to profane, what this word vain means, it means to profane his name as well. Okay? Also, that this what this root word means. Let me keep going on. And this word, noisy quarrels and brawling, with Yahweh's word that he's talking about here. And this insolence that is there, it means an overbearing, insulting, contemptuous speech and conduct, proud. But you can tempt you, browbeating other people, being overbearing, insulting people, calling them outside of their names, or not respecting the authority. These are the things that brings dishonor to Yahweh. And then he says, and profane the name of Yahweh. You do this by your sin, certain sins that we're going to get into on the Sabbath. Tongue is a disorderly agitation of milling, notice, about of a crowd, as with uproaring and confusion of the voices, turbulent uprisings and commotions that you cause and stir up. And you remember, this is what Yahweh said to bring in a book of Yahweh, kind of made it. It's to bring this name to nothing. And I'm going to leave right here with what this term right here means in the vein. And I'm going to show you that this is deep. This is a deep thing. And this word means vain or emptiness, useless, to no great purpose at all. Are you taking this authority, this character, and even the appellation that we've taken that represents Yahweh's government of peace, which is Melchizedek, emptiness with speech, lying, all of these things bring dishonor, as it says here. Nothing for bringing his name to nothing, for Yahweh will not hold him guilty who brings dishonor upon or profanes his name, having no real value, that is, in the eyes of man, Yahweh's authority, his kingdom, his laws, having no value to man because of our own actions. You notice this, that's the first thing that this word vain was talking about, is your character, your way, your mindset that you have, is the action of causing certain things to come forth. And where man sees it as evil, foul, and unseemly, base, to no good purpose at all. And this is conduct of worthlessness that brings disappointment. To where they say, why should we follow these guys? You say you following Yahweh and you acting like this, having no real value or significance, without effect, empty, void of or without meaning, dishonor, the loss of honor, respect, reputation, refusing or failing to honor Yahweh himself because of your own actions and the action of the nation, or speaking or bringing his name to remembrance. And this is what you cause by this, to where you even take Yahweh's name out of the people's mouth where they don't even want to speak Yahweh's name. It's despicable to them. And Yahweh said that this is what some of them have done when they have taken Yahweh's name and caused it not to be pronounced. And you remember, show this is the reason why. And you call these people to call on Baal. And this is what Yahweh said, you bringing his name to nothing. And he don't care about, you know, what you call him, Yahuha, or whatever it always is that you get caught up in. Focus on the essence of that name and bring honor to his name, not profane it. Because the next thing that he gives you is one of the greatest things that I left with the other day in Exodus 34. He's called it profaning the Sabbath. Because when you profane the Sabbath, you profane his name. Because it's a sign between you and him. And Yahweh says, I chose you. I have placed my name. You are the people who are called by my name. So if you don't honor Yahweh, and one of the things that is a sign, which is the Sabbath, but you profane the Sabbath, then you profane the name of Yahweh that is called, you are called on, that's called upon you. You are called by that name. And when you break the Sabbath, you dishonor your father. And I'm going to show this in the law next time I speak. I'm going to show that this is what you're doing. You can read it for yourself if you like to. In Exodus chapter 31, it's written there for you. And he tells the children there to keep his Sabbaths. That Sabbaths, meaning more than one, not just the weekly Sabbaths, but all of the Sabbaths that Yahweh give him, they are signed between you and him throughout your generations. That means every generation. We can't cut them off in any. That means all. All generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. You should keep these Sabbaths, and therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. And we'll get into what this profaning is. And with that, I'm going to turn this back over to Raphael.